Okay, today's daf is daf Yudalev. We're going to start at Yugimel Amabet at the two dots, about 20, maybe 20 lines from the bottom. Chutz mirishut hamiyuchedet lamazik. Okay, so then we had, you have to look back at the Mishnah. Okay, go back a bunch of dapim to Tet Amabet. Okay, we did this yesterday. Nechasim sheim behem mila, in the middle of the Mishnah. Nechasim sheim shel b'nei brit. Nechasim hamiyuchadim. Right, ubechol makom chutz mirishut hamiyuchedet lamazik. Okay, every place except a rishut hamiyuchedet lamazik. So then, what does that mean? If the damage is in your own property, the mazik's property, then you're not responsible. And here the Gemara explains. Keep your finger, by the way, on Tet. We're going to go back to it in a minute. Da'amarle torcha birishuti mabai. You say, well, what was your shor doing in my property? This is trespassing, right? In other words, your shor was trespassing in my field. My shor damaged him. Well, that's not my fault, right? In other words, what was your shor doing in my property? Okay, now, if you remember, when we read the Mishnah, I told you that when we get to the Gemara, we're going to see. So go back to the Mishnah for a minute. Then it says, you're chayav in damages in all places except for the reshut that belongs to the mazik. But reshut hanizak v'hamazik, u'reshut hanizak v'hamazik. Now this term can go in two directions. It can go forward, it can go backwards, saying not only are you patur if it happened in the reshut hamazik, but also if it happened in joint property, property owned by both the mazik and the nizak. And if my shore damages your shore in a property that we both own, I'm not responsible. And then if you say that that's the case, then we have to read this next line. Kishizik chava mazik l'shalem tashlumei nezek b'meitav ha'aretz. And when damage is done, right, under all these conditions that we just discussed, then he has to pay with the best of his land. Now, if we read it this way, we're going to have a problem because that last line matches the exact last line of the previous Mishnah, and it's totally unnecessary. So some people read the reshut hanizak v'hamazik as going on the last line, in which case you say like this. Go back to where we started today. Your chayv and damage is b'kol makom except for reshut hamiyuchedet lamazik, unless it's in your own property, period. U'reshut hanizak v'hamazik, and if it's in joint property, then exact opposite of what we said a minute ago, kishizik chava mazik l'shalem nezek v'meitav ha'aretz, then you're chayv and damages. Okay, and that explains why that sentence is repeated. What's the problem with reading it that way? Well, it could have just said, you're chayav, and it didn't need to say, you have to pay b'meitav ha'aretz. So either which way you read it, that last line is somewhat problematic. So now we're going to see the two readings in the Gemara. U'reshut hanizak v'hamazik. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Avimi, chatzar hashutafim, and here I charted out these two opinions here, chayav ba'al hashem ba'al haregel. If you have a joint property, and the animal, one animal tramples on the property, then he's chayav on shein and regel to the other person because he damaged his property, okay, since it was jointly owned. V'hachi ka'amar, and this is how the Mishnah reads. Chutz mirishut hamiyuchedet lamazik dipatur. In other words, except for, remember, that was the first line we saw today. The rishut hamiyuchedet lamazik, and now he adds the word that he is exempt, period. U'reshut hanizak v'hamazik, k'shizik, chavamazik, etc. Okay, and then those words about the joint property goes on the last line. Okay, so they're splitting between those two cases. If it's rishut hamazik, you're chayav, sorry, you're patur. And if it's rishut hamazik v'hanizak, meaning it's joint property, you're going to be chayav. Rabbi Elazar amar, patur al hashem v'al haregel, joint property is exempt from shein and regel. V'hachi kamar, and this is how you read the Mishnah, chutz mirishut hamiyuchedet lamazik, v'rishut hanizak b'mazik nami patur. Okay, and not only if it's the mazik's property, but even if it's joint property, you're also exempt. That's how he reads the Mishnah. And now, what do you do with this last line? U'kishizik chava mazik, latuye keren. What does it come to include? It comes to tell you that you're also responsible for keren. Okay, now, what do you mean it comes to teach that? Didn't we learn already? Hashor, habor, hamava, vahever, and wasn't sure keren? So if you remember, there was a machloket about it. So if you're going to say, according to this reading, you'd have to say that according to Rabbi Elazar, that we didn't yet discuss Karen. And that last line is coming to say, now, even though it's not the pshat of that line, right? What it means is we're adding some extra case where you're chayav. What case could that possibly be that we didn't discuss before? That's Karen. Remember, Karen means when the animal goes out and does something we weren't expecting him to do, right? He gores somebody, which isn't a typical act for, as opposed to regel and shame, which is trampling and eating, which is something that, sure, generally does. So comes that last line to include Karen. Now, again, we're going to say, well, that only works, ha'nicha l'Shmuel. That works according to Shmuel, who said what? If you remember, there was shor, bor, ma, ve, hever. So bor and hever have nothing to do with this, because that's bor and one is eish, that has nothing to do with it, but shor and maveh, we had a whole debate. What was shor and what was maveh? So if you say maveh is shame, maveh means the animal's eating, and shor is regel, then that makes sense. That's Shmuel Shita. And then you say, ah, Karen is missing from here. So Karen is added in the second Mishnah at the last line, which is our Mishnah. Okay? And that last line comes to include Karen. Ela l'Rav, de'amar, but Rav didn't explain it that way, right? This is Shmuel. What did Rav say? Rav said that shor is kol mile deshor, meaning it's shame, regel, and Karen. Shor includes anything. Maveh, remember, was Adam. Okay? So chava mazik la'atu yemai. So what could that be coming to include? So now we're going to say la'atu ye, it comes to include hadatana rabbanan. Kishehizik chava mazik lahavi. Here's a braita which says we're going to learn from these words. Kishehizik chava mazik. This is, we've seen this before where there's a braita on our Mishnah, right? In other words, our Mishnah existed, and there were all sorts of braita that came to kind of explain our Mishnah. So this Mishnah, this braita, right? Often the braita starts off with a quote from a pasuk. Here it's starting from a quote from our Mishnah. Ukishizik chava mazik. What is that referring to according to this braita? Lahavi shomer chinam v'hashoal nosei sachar v'asocher sheizika behema b'rishutam tam mishalem chatzi nezek umua mishalem nezek shalem nifritza balayla. I'll explain in a minute. Let's read the whole thing and then we'll explain. Nifritza balayla osha pertua listim biatstavi zika patur. Okay, so now what are we saying this comes to include? This last line comes to include cases we haven't yet seen before, which is, yes, we're talking about damages of a shor, but not in a case where you own the shor, but where you're a shomer for the shor, you're watching over someone's shor. Okay, so now exactly what case and what happens, we're going to have to discuss in a minute. But you're watching over somebody's shor, and somehow there's damages that occur here. We're going to see exactly what damages, who caused the damage. We'll see this in a minute. Okay, so according to this, if you're any kind of shomer, you're a shomer chinam, you watch something for free, you're a shoel, you borrow something, you're a nosei sachar, you borrow something and pay money. I'm sorry, you watch something for money, someone pays you to watch their item, or you're a socher, you're renting someone's item, and the animal, hezika, birishutan, in their reshut. So if it was a short time, you pay chatzi nezek. If it was muad, you pay nezek shalem. But if nifritza balayla, if your house is broken into at night, osha pratzua listim, or these robbers came in, v'yatztavi hezika, and the animal then, right, they open the door, right, you didn't open the door, these robbers come in at night, you weren't there, they open the door, the animal gets out and damages someone, then you're patur. Okay? So now we have a very simple answer. So what did we say? First, we thought this line was going to come to include Karen. But according to Rav, this doesn't work. So what are we going to say? The line comes to include shomrim who are watching an animal, the animal damages. Okay, so now we're going to go into depth into this and try to explain what's the case. Amar mar, kishizik chava mazik, lavi shomer chinam v'ashoa nosei sachar v'asocher. Hey chidami, what's the case? I lema da'azke Torah d'mashia l'Torah d'shoel. If we're going to say that the animal that, let's say, you borrowed, okay? So you borrow a shor. That shor that you borrowed damages your own shor, okay? So one of the shvarim in your property. Lemale, and you want to say to the mashil, hey, look, your shor damaged my shor. So the mashil can now say to him, ilu azik ba'alma bayit l'shlume at. Hashtu da'azke l'torah didech be'ina l'shlume. If one second. Right. If it had damaged
third party's ox.
Right. Someone else's ox, then you're supposed to be watching him. In other words, what happens? You borrow this ox and the ox damages your own ox, right? So what do you say? You say, hey, your ox damaged my ox. So the guy says, what are you talking about? If this ox damaged someone else's ox, well, you were watching it, you were borrowing my shore, you were in charge of watching it. So if it had damaged someone else's, you'd have to pay. So why should I pay you for the damage it did to your shore? So it can't be that case. Ella, de'az ke Torah de'shoel le'Torah de'mashiel. Maybe it's the case, right? Let's say it's the case where the shoel brings in the ox he borrows to his, right? He hangs out now with his oxen. And one of his ox damages the ox that he borrowed. Okay? So le male. So now he wants to say to the mashil, right? You should be responsible for the damages, for the damage that your ox caused. Torah de Shoah, la Torah de Mashiel. So the Mashiel can say, one second, Aske Torah de Shoah, la Torah de Mashiel. Le Male, it's over there. Le Male, Ilu Itzig Me Alma, Bayit Lishlome Kule. If it had gotten damage from something else, you would have to pay full damages. Kule Torah. What's the story with the Shoah? If a Shoah borrows something from someone, and what do we say about a shoel? He's responsible even for onus, even if, right, something happened beyond his control. So now he's saying, you'd have to pay me the whole ox if something happened to it. So, hashta da'az ke Torah didach, pal geniz ke yudim mishalem et li? What did we say? We said that if I bring your ox into my property, I borrow it. My ox damages your ox. So what did we just say in the Braita? I only have to pay half damages. But comes the owner of the ox and says, hey, if my ox had just died in your property randomly, you'd have to pay me a full ox. So now that your ox gore my ox, you're only going to pay half? That doesn't make any sense. So it can't be that case. So what are the answer? Le'olam, da'az ke Torah d'mashiel le'Torah d'shoel. It is the first case where the ox that he borrowed damaged his own ox. V'hacha b'mayaskina. Now what did we say before? He's responsible, right? He took on responsibility when he took the shore. So what's the issue? So now we say, no. Hacha b'mayaskinan, shekibel alav shmirat gufo, belo kibel alav shmirat nizakav. When he borrowed it, he said, I'm assuming responsibility only for protecting the animal, but not for watching the animal that he doesn't damage. Okay, so in other words, he's saying to the mashiel, you're responsible for the fact that your animal damaged my animal. I never took on that responsibility, right? Now all of a sudden we start to see there's split responsibilities. He's saying, right, shomrim, we generally don't talk about shomrim, that they're protecting whatever it is from damaging other things. What are we worried about? Protecting it from getting damaged, right? I ask you to watch something of mine, I'm watching you to protect it from getting damaged. So he says, I never took on responsibility for watching it from damaging something else. So the fact that your shore in my property damaged my shore, that means you're responsible for damages. He's your shore. You should have trained him better. You should have, right? You're responsible and not me. And then it depends whether it was a shore tam or a shore muat. So we'd have to explain that this bright is only in a case where he says, right, the question is, what's the default? It doesn't really say what the default is, if you didn't exactly say anything, if you didn't specify. But maybe this is even saying that that's the default. The default is, I'm watching it from damage, but I'm not watching it from causing damage. Okay, there's a difference. So then they say, well, that doesn't make sense either, because look at the hemshech of the Braita. Ihachi em asefa nifritza balayla osha pertsua listin v'yatzdavi zika patur. Now, what does this imply? Nifritza balayla, if the gate got opened at night, okay? What do you think then? Habayom, if it happened during the day, you'd be chayav. But why would you be chayav? According to what we just said, ha lo kibel alav shmirat nizakav, right? He didn't take responsibility for damages. So what's implied from the end of the Mishnah is, even though it doesn't say you'd be chayav, it's implied that if it got open during the day, you should have paid attention that the door got open, right? In other words, what happens? Some random guy walks by and unlocks your door at nighttime, okay? So if it happens at nighttime, the assumption is you're not watching. But if it happened during the day, you're supposed to be watching during the day. So now, you're chayav for damages. Why are you chayav for damages? According to this, we just said, you said, I'm not assuming responsibility for damages. I'm only assuming responsibility for protecting the animal, but not for protecting him from damaging others. So it doesn't make any sense to say that. So now they say hachi kamar. So now this is kind of like one of those, it doesn't say it, but it's chisuri machasra of hachi katani. It's really missing words, and this is how you should read the braita. Im kibel alav shmirat nezakav chayav. That, in other words, the first part was talking about where he didn't accept shmirat nezakav, protecting him from damaging. After we get past the half point of this braita, now we add this line that says, but if he did accept shmirat nezakav, if he did accept upon himself that I'll protect the animal from damaging other people or other things, then he's chayav. However, within that, it depends on the situation. If nipritza balayla o shepritzu alistim b'yatzav yizika, patur. Okay? So that's how we have to explain it. That braita itself is a split. The beginning of it talks about when he didn't accept protecting it from damaging, shmirat nezakav, and the seifa is where he is, and you'd have to just add words to make it make sense like that. Okay, now we're going to question this whole thing about, this is going to be a question on Rabbi Elazar. Okay, Rabbi Elazar says, if you have a chatzar shutafin, okay, we share a common property, and the animal damages, Rabbi Elazar said, you're pater from shein v'rego, right? You're not responsible. So now we want to say, Ini, is that really true? V'hatane Rav Yosef. Okay, now we're on the second chart on the page. We're going to see, again, two different opinions here, but we're going to start with Rav Yosef. Chatzar shutafim v'hapundak. Okay, if you have a chatzar that it's joint, or a pundak, okay, also like an inn that we share, that we commonly own. We own a hotel together. Chayav behen ala shein v'ala regel. So they say, Tiyuvta de Rabbi Elazar, this directly contradicts Rabbi Elazar. What does it mean, Tane Rabbi Yosef? It means Rabbi Yosef, who's an Emora, brought in a Braita. So this Braita now is going to contradict Rabbi Elazar Shita, because it says that Shutafim are Chayavim. And he's, right, you're Chayav if it happens in joint property. So now we're going to say, no. This isn't really a problem to Rabbi Elazar, because Amar Lecha Rabbi Elazar, B'tizbirad, you really think this is the case? Matnita milo pligi. You might say, yes, there's this braita that Rabbi Yosef brought that contradicts what I say, but don't we know that there's another braita that supports what I say, right? We've always said that if a braita contradicts, right? Now here it's interesting, because a braita is contradicting a tana. Usually we have this problem when a braita contradicts an emora. And then the emora can say, well, yes, you brought this braita against me, but I can bring this braita that supports me. Here we have this Tanaitic opinion, we have a Tanaitic machloket. And they want to say, well, there's a braita that sides like one side, so maybe we should say that says that your opinion's not good, which is a bit of a strange question, because a Tana has a legitimate right to argue with another Tana. But he has a good answer, which is, well, I've got a braita to support my theory. So now we're going to bring in his braita, and then we're going to later go in depth into this braita. So he says, do you really think this contradicts me? Matnita milo pligi. Don't we have a braita where it contradicts this other braita? V'hatanya, here it is. Arba'ach klalot haya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer. Okay, he gave four cases. Benizikin. Kol shehu, okay, now really what we're talking about is there's four rishuyot, okay? There's four locales in which damages could take place, and the halacha is going to be different for each one. Here goes. Okay, and this is the chart within the chart, on the second chart on the page. Okay? Kol shehu reshut lanizak velo lamazik. Okay, if my ox damages your ox and your property, chayav bakol, right? Your chayav, now we're going to learn that chayav bakol means, okay, even if it's keren, what do we always learn about keren? The shor tam, shor muad, chatzin nezik, nezik shalem. Now we're going to learn that in this case, if my ox goes into your property and damages your property, even if my ox had never done this before, he's chayav full damage. I'm chayav full damages, okay? That's what it means, chayav bakol. Everything and full. How do we know? Because soon we're going to say, in this case, it depends whether it's tam or mu'ad. And in this case, it doesn't say that at all. And then later, hold off, we'll get to it later, they're going to say, you know, maybe this is only according to one shita, we'll see. Okay, so now chayav bakol, even Karen is chayav in full now. Nezek. Dimazik velola nizak. Let's say it's in my property, and my ox, your ox wandered into my property. My ox damages yours. Patur mikol, right? You trespassed on my property. I'm totally patur. Lize u lize. What if it belongs to both? Kigon chatzar hashutafim behabika. Either a joint chatzer or a joint valley. okay, like a valley that was owned by people, patur. Okay, now wait, what are you patur? Patur ba'ala shen ba'ala regel, right? You're completely patur on shen and regel. Ba'ala negicha, ba'ala negifa, ba'ala neshicha, ba'ala revitza, ba'ala bi'ita. Those are all karen damages, right? The less expected damages. Tam mishalem chatzi nezek, mu'av mishalem nezek shalem. So what do you see here? What was our whole machloket, Rabbi Elazar, Rav Chista? Are you chayv in shen beregel or patur in shen beregel? So Rabbi Elazar said, you're patur in shen beregel. What is this bright to say? Just like Rabbi Elazar, this supports his shita. That if it's chasar, shitafim, you're patur in shen beregel. You're still going to be chayv in karen. Okay, but that wasn't what their machloket was about, so that doesn't bother us for that. But you're chayv in karen, right? If it's tam, mishalem chatzi nezek, if it's muad, it's done it three times already, then you have to pay full damages. Fourth case. Lo lezeh ve lo lezeh. Okay, now, we don't know exactly what this means. Soon we're going to get into it in the Gemara. Kigon, chatzar she'ena shel shnehem. For example, it was something that didn't belong either to the nizak or to the mazik, right? It's not in the nizak's property. It's not in the mazik's property. Where is it? We'll get into it. Okay? Chayavo ala shein ba'ala regel. This can't be reshut arabim. Why? Do you remember? Shein and regel are patur and reshut arabim. So that's why they're going to have to figure out, so whose property was it in, right? What's going on here? So, chayavo ala shein ba'ala regel, if it didn't belong to either of us, and ala negichav, ala neshichav, ala negifav, ala revitzav, ala bi'itan, meaning karen, tam mishalem chatzi nezek, mu'ah mishalem nezek shalem. Okay. So now, again, we're going to get into the details of this braita, but right now, what's the important part for us? Okay, sometimes the Gemara reminds us what we were doing here. So the Gemara says, katani mihat, if out of this whole braita, what's the line that's important to us? Chatzara shutafim b'habika patur b'alashem b'alaregel. Right? So what do we say here? Ah, Rabbi Elazar says, remember he brought this in to say, well, this supports my shita, so don't bring a braita against me when I've got my own braita to support me. Now the Gemara points out that even though you could say these are two different shitot, in theory, we could come up with a better answer. We could say that maybe it's two different cases, and they really all agree. So first they say, kashya ahadade. These two braitot disagree with each other. Okay, now it could be that they don't like that the braitot disagree because neither one comes with a name. Now, if neither one has a name attached to it, right? When there's a name attached, so we could say, that guy disagrees with that guy. When there's a basic halacha brought, it sounds like it's the rov opinion. And if it's the rov opinion and the rov opinion, right, it doesn't make sense that the rov would say this and the rov would say the opposite. So that's why maybe they're struggling and they want to say maybe you could read it some other way. So these contradict each other. So maybe you could say, kitanya hahi, okay, here we're now on the chart and the arrows to each one. Each one is a different case. Bechatzar hamiyuchedet, there's another sheet there if you want. Bechatzar hamiyuchedet lezeh ulezeh, Bein lepeiro, bein leshvarim. Maybe you'd say that the braita that says that your patur on shein v'regel was talking about what? It's a shutaf chatzer, that it's shutaf both in terms of the produce that grows there and in terms of, and it's a place where our shvarim hang out also. In other words, we own it and we share it for all intents and purposes, basically. Also peiro, also shvarim. And that's why you're patur on shein v'regel, because all of our shvarim are allowed to be there, and all of our peirot are allowed to be there, and therefore, it's just assumed that the shvarim are going to trample and eat some of the stuff. But ahidu Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef's braita that says in the chatzar shutafim you're chayv in shein v'regel, it's bechatzar miyuchedet lepeirot ve'ena miyuchedet leshvarim. It's a chatzar that we share in terms of the crops and the produce, but we don't share for shvarim. Only my shvarim are allowed there, and your shvarim came in, your shore came in, and attacked my shore, and the fact that your shore was there was trespassing, and then you'd be chayav. Dilagabe shein, when it comes to shein, havi lechatzar nizak, right? It belongs to the nizak, basically. Okay, so now they're going to even be medayik, why you could say, now there was one word that was different in each of these braitot. Okay, no. Rav Yosef said, Chatzar shutafim v'hapundak. What's a pundak? It's a hotel, like a motel type place where people sleep, an inn. The other one said, Kigon chatzar shutafim v'habik'a. Now, do shvarim hang out in hotels and places where people sleep? No. Do they hang out in valleys? Yes. So that's why they're going to say, Daikanami de katane, hacha dumia de pundak, v'katane hatam dumia de bik'a. Shma Mina. Okay, so when it was talking about the pundak, it was talking about a place where it wasn't common for shvarim. It was only that we share the produce. When it came to the place where it talked about the bik'ah, it was where we share it for everything, because the bik'ah is a place where shvarim hang out. So that's their proof. Okay. Now, matkifla Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira now comes with a question, and he says, Kevan, one second, let me just remember what he's questioning here. Right, Kevan de miyuchedet leperot. Ah, right, so now, one second. Right, if it's a chatzar that's miyuchedet leperot, and not miyuchedet leshvarim, now he's going to ask on that braita for Yosef. If we share a field for perot, but not for shvarim, that means that what? That we share this field to a certain extent. Now, what did we learn about the pasuk about shem v'regel, if you remember? What does it say there? Habi'inan ubi'er b'steyachir v'leika. It means you have to go into someone else's field, and this isn't someone else's field, because we share the field. So he says it doesn't make sense to say that if we share it for perot, you still wouldn't call this chatzer acher. Okay? So Amar le'abaye, kevan de'enem yuchedet l'shvarim sadeh acher karina bay. So they have this machloket about whether bi'er b'steh acher has to mean that it entirely has nothing to do with me, this sadeh, and then I'm responsible, which wouldn't work here, or whether you say no. B'steh acher means that my animal went into a field that it wasn't allowed to go into, meaning it wasn't my field for shvarim, it was my field for produce, but that's enough to say it's sadeh acher. So there's this machloka Rabbi Zeira and Abaye about how to read that, how to understand that pasuk. Amalei Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina. Lema midematnita lo plige emora ai nami lo plige. We've seen this context before, this type of argument before, which is, if right now, what did we have, okay? And this is why I lined it up on the sheet. We had a machloka Rav Chisda and Rabbi Elazar, whether you're patur or chayav in shem v'regel. Then we brought two braitot that had seemingly had the same machloka, right? One said you're patur, one said you're chayav. So originally we said, right, Rabbi Elazar lines up with that other braitot. But then the Gemara suggested that maybe the braitot are talking about two different scenarios and that they're not actually arguing with each other. So now they're saying, well, if we explain the two braitot that way, maybe we could explain the Rav Chisda and Rabbi Elazar. Oh, sorry, why did I say Rabbi Elazar is not an Atana? He's an Emora. I'm sorry, I got confused for a minute. There's a Rabbi Elazar Tana and a Rabbi Elazar Emora. This is a Machlok and Emoraim, and that's why they contradicted him from a braita. So erase what I said earlier. He's an Emora, and we're having a problem with the Emoraim. He's an Emora from Eretz Yisrael, that's why he's called Rabbi Elazar. So maybe the Machlok and Emoraim here, Rav Chisda and Rabbi Elazar, is also not a machloket. Maybe each one's talking about a different type of chatzer. A chatzer miyuchedet, right? Le perot below the shvarim, or a chatzer miyuchedet, both for perot and shvarim. So therefore, why don't we just suggest that? So amar le'in, you could actually say that, okay? That's one way to read this. Ve'im timtzi lomar, or alternatively, you could say, plige b'kushya de Rabbi Zeira b'peruka d'abai plige. Maybe their whole machloket is based on this other thing. And that's number one, you could suggest that maybe they're not arguing at all, and maybe they're just talking about two different situations. One's talking about a chatzer, this mishutaf, just for perot and not for shvarim, and that's why you be chayav. And the one who said your patur was talking about a chatzer, this mishutaf to both, right? That you owned it for both, and that's why you're patur. Alternatively, you could say that it all, their whole machloket boils down to how they understand bi'er b'steh acher. Is, in other words, it's a. They both agree it's a chatzer miyuchedet leperot ve'ena miyuchedet leshvarim, and the machloket's going to be: do we say that that's considered sadeh acher that you be chayav, or maybe that's not considered sadeh acher since you share it for some purposes? It's already not considered be'er b'steh acher, and therefore you be patur. So maybe that's what they're arguing about. So we basically say either they're arguing about mitziyut, that maybe it's a different situation. Or you could say that they're arguing about the perusha, this pasuk, bi'er b'steh acher, how much steh acher does it need to be? Does it need to be that your store can't go there and that's enough to say it's steh acher? Or does it need to be that you have to be totally split entirely? Okay, that you don't own this property for anything. Okay, now we're going to go back to this braita about the arba aklalot. Okay, so the braita that's in this little chart here with the four options of the four locations. Now we're going to talk about it. Gufa. Gufo is means we're going to go in depth into something we brought up earlier. Arba'a klalot haya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer ben nizakim. Kol shu reshut lanizak velo lamazik chayav bakol. Okay, so we're going to start one by one. So you're chayav bakol. So notice it says, al hakol lo katane. It doesn't say you're chayav on everything, meaning shein, regel, karen. That's not what it says. It says, el chayav bakol. What does bakol mean? Like I said before, bikule nezek. Meaning, nezek shalem. You're chayev to pay everything. Mane, and who does this hold like? Rabbi Tarfonhi Damar, we're going to get to this Mishnah later. It's a Mishnah on Daf, I think, Kafdalid. Rabbi Tarfon, we're going to see his whole argument where he gets this from, so we're not going to get into all the background of why he says this now, but Rabbi Tarfon, he has all sorts of kalvachomer, some they knock down, and then he ends up with one that lasts. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, he da'amar, mishune keren b'chatzar nizak, nezek shalem mishalem. Okay, what does this mean? Mishune keren means a keren that's unexpected, okay, like a short tom. So a short tom who all of a sudden, right, it's mishuneh, it's not anticipated, he damages in the chatzar and izak. If he goes into someone else's property and damages there, even if he's tom, he pays nezek shalem. Okay? So now what we'd have to say is that this braita holds like Rabbi Tarfon, because chachamim disagree. Chachamim think that even in reshut and izak, if he's never done this before, you're only chayav to pay chatzi nezek. So you'd have to say this braita is Rabbi Tarfon, and we're going to have an issue with that because of the last section of the Mishnah, the braita. Ema seifa, but look at the end of the braita. Lo lezeh velo lezeh. So what does it mean, lo lezeh velo lezeh, right? Here are the words of the braita. Kigon chatzar she'ena shel shnehem, chayav ba'al ha'shem ba'al ha'regel. So now, what does this mean, chatzar she'ena shel shnehem? My lo lezeh velo lezeh. Ilema, if you want to say lo lezeh velo lezeh klal ela la'acher, it doesn't belong to either of them. Both our ox were hanging out in someone else's property entirely. V'habina ubi er b'steacher v'leka. It has to be that you're b'er b'sadeh acher. The way they understand steacher is someone else's field, meaning the nizak's field. In other words, it doesn't make sense to say that they're in some third person's field entirely. Ela pshita, lo lezeh v'lo lezeh, ela dechad. In other words, it's not this or it's not that. It belongs to one of them. V'katane seifa, and what does it say there? Tam mishalem chatzi nezek, umua mishalem nezek shalem. And this would then therefore go like, right, if it belongs to just one of them, what does it mean? It belongs to the nizak, right? And then that would hold like Rabbanan. Da'amre mishuna keren b'chatzera nizak, right? If you're a keren who's a tam, and you go to chatzera nizak, what do you pay? Chatzi nezek hu d'mishalem. So Reisha Rabbi Tarfon b'seifa Rabbanan, does it make sense to say that the Reisha is Rabbi Tarfon and the Seifa is Rabbanan? So they say, you could say that, ha, amar le Shmuel le Rav Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda about a different Mishnah, Shinina, we've seen this, where he calls him Shinina, very smart child. Shavuch matnita b'ta batrai, leave this Mishnah and go outside. In other words, go out from what you would think. Reisha Rabbi Tarfon b'seifa Rabbanan. Okay, in other words, you can understand that Mishnah as being part one opinion and part another opinion. We've seen this many times. When they're stuck in a corner, they sometimes do say, yeah, the beginning holds like one and the end holds like the other. We'd rather not say that if we don't have to. Okay, so that's one way of reading it. So really, when it says chayav bakol, your chayav nezek shalem, that's Rabbi Tarfon. And when it says in the last case, your chayav chatzi nezek, that's chachamim. But then Ravina gives a different answer. Ravina Mshmei de Rava, okay, passes on the name of Rava. Amar, Kula Rabbi Tarfon hi. The whole braita could be explained according to Rabbi Tarfon. But then you'd have to obviously explain lo lezeh v'lo lezeh is something different. Umay lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. Lo lezeh v'lo lezeh l'peirot, ela dechad. Lezeh u'lezeh l'shvarim. What does it mean? Now, this is the opposite field that we saw before. They don't share the produce, but they do share the space for their ox. So now, their oxen. So now what happens? Legabe shen, havile chatzer hanizak. Ulegabe keren, havile reshut arabim. Okay, when it comes to shen, it's like the chatzer hanizak, because the peirot only belong to the nizak. So when the shore damages by Shane, well, he's only damaging the property of the Nizak because it doesn't belong to him. But when it comes to Karen, since this, your shore is there and my shore is there, it's as if it's Rashud Arabim. In other words, it's neither of our properties, and therefore you're going to be, if it's like Rashud Arabim, then Karen and Rashud Arabim. Right. What was Rabbi Tarfon's chidush? His chidush was that only Karen and Rashud Nizak are you high of full damages. But Karen and Rashid Rabim, you're chayav chatzi nezek. So since we both we both jointly own this area for Shvarim. It's as if it's Rishut HaRavim, and if your shore damages my shore, you pay regular, you know, Chatzi Nezek. Okay? Rabbi Tarfon even would agree in this case. So then they say, well, that doesn't make any sense, though, because Yihachi Arba'a Shlosha Havu. Really, what's this telling you? That you're damaging B'chatzer HaNizak. And if that's the case, then there's really only three locales and not four. So Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Shosha Klalot Ba'arba Mechamot. In other words, what they're really saying here, it is four different locales, but it's the same halacha, right? This is the way it works. If it means, here, you can look on the chart, I charted it out. If it, as regards to Shane, this is considered Chatzar and Izak. As regards to Karen, it's Rishut HaRabim. So as regards to Shane, we already said that in the first klal. That's Chatzar and Izak. And when it comes to the Karen, we're viewing it as Rishut HaRabim, and that was case number three. So either which way, right, whether you're looking at Shane and it's private property, or it's private property for Shane because it was the payroll of only one of them. And when you're looking at Karen, since both ox were allowed to be there, so we're talking about Rishut HaRabim, and that we already mentioned in case number Shutafim is it's basically, yeah. Shutafim. So therefore, you'd have to say there's no chidush in this halacha at all. So they're saying you're right, there's no chidush, but ba'arba mikomot, it's still a different locale. It's a different definition of locale because it's joint, but yet not joint. So they had to list it as a separate listing. Okay, new Mishnah. This is a quite strange Mishnah that we're not going to actually understand yet at all. The Gemara is going to go into each thing, what it means. Okay, so I'm not going to even really attempt to explain the Mishnah yet. It's basically this list. Shom kesef. Shom means evaluating, right? Evaluating the, like a shuma. Okay, like when you go to get a mortgage, right? You have to get a shamai to come and evaluate the value of your house. Evaluate the money. Shvei kesef. Okay, something that Shvei Kesef, we'll see what this means. It has the value of money. Bifnei Beitin, it has to be done before Beitin. Val Pi Edim, okay, and by Edim. Edim B'nei Chorin and B'nei Brit. Okay, they both have to be free, which means obviously, right, not Avadim. B'nei Brit, not non-Jews. V'hanashim B'chlal HaNezek, if a woman owns property that damages, she's also responsible. We'll see why. V'hanizak, Mazik b'tashlumin, and both the nizak and the mazik are involved in the payment. We'll see what that means also. Okay, you can see nothing's really clear. My shum kesef. What is this shum kesef? Amar Rav Yehuda. Now, these are all. I'll just tell you at least this. These are all things that are required for payment. Now, when we're talking about the payment that's going on here, these are all criteria. My shum kesef. Amar Rav Yehuda. Shum ze lo yehe ela b'kesef. And we'll see this. In other words, when you evaluate it, you have to evaluate it by money. What does this mean? You're going to see in a second. Tanina lahaja detana rabbanan. We've seen this halacha also appear in a braita. Para shezika talit, v'talit shezika para, ein omrim tetei para v'talit v'talit v'para, ela shamino tabedamim. If let's say, okay, we can read this in two ways. I'll read it one way, the way I see the pshat, and then I'll tell you the other way that Rashi brings up, or the way people understand Rashi. If a para damages my talit, and then my talit damages the para, we can't just say, oh, let's just swap, or let's just say we're even now, right? You cause damage, and you cause damage, and let's just call it even. It has to be each one evaluated as per its own damage. Okay, there's another way of understanding this, which is, if my para damaged your talit, or, right, not end, or my right mind damage that, you can't say, oh, well, give me the para for the talit, or give me the talit for the para. In other words, it's just one thing happened, not both, and not that we're trying to swap and say, oh, call it even. Okay, either which way you look at it, the point is that you can't just swap items for damage and say, oh, that thing caused my damage, I'll just take this instead. You have to evaluate it exactly what the value is and pay the person the value of the damage, and you can't just say, oh, let's just whatever. Okay, Shvei Kesef. Detana Rabbanan, what's Shvei Kesef? Shvei Kesef melamed she'ein beitin nizkakin ela nechasim she'yesh lem achrayut. Okay, what does this mean? That what? The Braita says, okay, and that's where they're going to understand what Shvei Kesef is, the beitin can't come and demand that you pay money from your metaltalin. They can only come into your property and say, you owe damages, we're going to take it from your land. Okay, it can only be land. Aval im kidem nizak v'tafas, but if the nizak came into my property and grabbed my laptop as payment for their damages, then beitin govin lo mehem. If he already grabbed it, now this is a strange halacha that comes up all the time, once it's in his hands and he's already taken it, then we can do something that we couldn't have done before. Okay, then we can say, okay, the beitin could say, yes, you already took the laptop, that laptop can pay, can cover the cost of the damages. Obviously, if it's the same, right, the same value or less, and then he can just demand some more. But then they can, but not if he didn't grab it. Okay, obviously, you have to question, well, then that encourages people to just grab things, and it's a problem, right? It's but it all comes from Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya also, the concept that once you have it in your hands, when Toface works and when it doesn't work, we're going to get into all this stuff many times, so we'll see it more in depth. Amar Mar, Shvei Kesef, Milamed, She'ein Beitin Nizkakin, Ela Nechasim She'yesh Lem Achrayut. So for, now they want to know, so now they're going back to that line, they want to say, my mashma, where do you get this from? Amar Rabba Bar'ula, Davar HaShaveh Kol Kesef, it has to be, where do we get this from the word Shvei Kesef, that it means land? It's something that can be any amount. We've seen this before. That land can be valued at anything. You can take a piece of land and someone can value it at a lot of money and someone can value it at very little money. And therefore, ma'iniu davar she'ein lo ona'a. Therefore, we say about land that there's no din ona'a. What does that mean? If you buy an item, like a pen, and you pay more than a sixth of what it's worth, then you can claim it was a mekach ta'ud and get your money back. Or less than one sixth. Okay, then the buyer, the person who sold it can say, I want my money back. This is, you know, way too little money. But you can never do that with land. Because land can fluctuate in price and there's no way to actually evaluate what its real value is. So that's what it means. Shvei kesef is land because it's shaveh kol kesef. So now that's the first attempt. Okay, you can see the chart here. We're going to have three attempts to understand how we get from shvei kesef. This one we're going to reject in a second. They're going to say, but avadim u'shtarot nami ein lehem ona'ah. We don't say you could grab avadim or shtarot. And those are also things that don't have din ona'ah because they're not valued at any, you know, their value also fluctuates. So, el amar rabba b'ula davar ha'nikne b'kesef. It's something you could do. Remember we learned? With metaltalim, what do you have to do? Meshicha or mesira or hagbaha, right? But with land, you can buy it with kesef. So that's why it's called shvei kesef. It's something you can acquire with kesef. That also doesn't work because avadim u'shtarot nami niknim b'kesef. We also saw that. The navadim and ashtar you can also acquire with money, and therefore that's not our answer. Ela amarav, that can't be shvei kesef because then it would include avadim u'shtarot also. So ela amaravashi, and here's our answer, shvei kesef v'lo kesef. Right, v'lo kesef, this means that you can, 1 second, right, it's something that's worth money but isn't actually money. And what is that? That's land. So they say, Vahanu kul kesef ninhu. But all these things are, wait 1 second.
They're all like money.
Right, they're all like money. In other words, everything is like money. Rami le Rav Yehuda bar Chinin ala Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua. Tana shvei kesef. Melamed she'en beit din yizkim ele nechasim she'yesh lam achrayut. Vaha tanya yashiv l'rabot shvei kesef afilu subin. Okay, and then you have this thing where we see what? You can, right, you're allowed to take even from Subin. In other words, all these things have Shvei Kesef value. So, Hacha B'maya Skina, what are the answer? B'yatme. We're talking about Yitomim. Remember what we said about Yitomim, that they can't come and claim, if the father owed money to someone and he dies, so you can only claim land from Yitomim. Okay, so now what they're saying is the Shvei Kesef that they're talking about here is Yitomim. Okay, then they're going to say, wait, but we have a problem with that. Ibi Yatme, Eima Seifa Im Kidem Nizak, B'tafas, Metaltalim, Beitin Govin Lo Mehem, and Ibi Yatme, Amai Beitin Govin Lo Mehem. Wait a minute. It doesn't make sense to say this is all Yitomim, because what's the unique halacha by Yitomim? You can't take it from Metaltalim. So what if the guy was Tofes? Like, if the guy comes into the Yitomim's house and grabs their metaltalin, the Beit Din does not allow them to grab the metaltalin, and they have to actually return the metaltalin. Okay, now we see that Tofes doesn't always work, right? Tofes works when you're actually allowed to be gover for metaltalin, but with the Yitomim, you're not allowed to. because we're assuming that the loan only gets passed on if the land, if there's land lien to it, then the land belongs to the loaveb, but not any property that the person owns. So what's the answer to this? And we'll finish here for today. Kedamarav, Amrav Nachman, Shetafas Mechayim. He answered this somewhere else in a different question, so therefore we're going to say the same answer. Hachanami, we're going to say it here also, Shetafas Mechayim. If there was, the guy owned damages, what happened? Came someone, grabbed from his metaltlin. They didn't yet bring it to court. The guy dies, and then there's Yatomim. In that case, they can demand, they can pay it from the metaltlin, but only if it happened before the guy actually died. So we now explain that the Shvei Kesef in the Mishnah, it means land. You can only be gover from land, but it only is referring to Yatomim. Okay? And then we'll get into tomorrow what the other cases in this Mishnah are talking about.